Ladies and gentlemen, what is real? While you ponder the annoyingly broad nature of that question, here's another for you. Where does the line between what is real and unreal occur? When we immerse ourselves in a realm of make-believe, be it in a film, a book, or a radio play, when do we turn off that part of our brains that says none of this is real and immerse ourselves in an alternate reality? Moreover, just how much trust do we place in the creator of that reality to be entirely truthful in their untruth? Enough questions. Let's turn to someone for the answers. Someone like Violet, the heroine of tonight's tale. We join her on a billboard overlooking the BQE somewhere in North Brooklyn. Let's get to it. Turn off the television set, flick off the lights, grab a friend or someone who won't mind being kidnapped for a bit, and curl up on your favorite carpet with the radio turned on as Distilled Theater Company presents My Violet Brooklyn, a DTC radio story by Corey Paca.
There I was, on that billboard overlooking the BQE. That was where I finally saw everything. From up there, I could see everything. Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens. I was in the heart of this city. If I think about it hard enough, I feel like I'm there now. To my left, the man in the mask is hard at work on his latest civic improvement project. There's a large mural being painted onto the billboard, but for the first time, I'm ignoring the art. I'm more interested in the artist. He has his hood drawn tightly over his head, and the mask, Ronald Reagan. A Ronald Reagan Halloween mask. It's freezing up here, and yet I feel comfortable. Can't believe I'm here. He stopped. He's standing up. He's looking at me. He's turned in my direction. Through the mask, I can see him looking at me, but I can't see his eyes. I reach out. I inch the mask up a little, and he lets me. My heart is racing. I raise the mask up another inch and see a mouth, then a nose. I lower the hood, raise the mask a little further, and then pull it off of him altogether. There. That's it. That's when I finally see...
Sasha. Are you still with me?
What?
The story, are you still with me?
Oh, sorry, V. I've been trying to download that song all day. This internet outage sucks.
Right. Isn't that why we agreed we were just going to hang out tonight?
Of course. But first... Do you mind if I have another of these?
Not at all.
Ooh, we have a connection! I'm stealing our neighbor's Wi-Fi to send out a tweet. Internet is down, sad face, but that leaves room for beer and story time with Rumi. Smiley face, thumbs up, dancing lady.
Charming. May I continue?
The network just crashed again. Ugh. Go for it. What did you see under the mask? Was he hot?
He was... Maybe I should back up a little.
Violet, you're fired.
What?
What?
You heard me. You're fired. Please, have your desk cleaned out by the end of the day.
Violet, where are we now?
Rooney's office, Friday before last. Remember I told you he let me go?
And I'm Rooney. Pleased to meet you, Sasha.
You're also my memory. Please don't talk to her.
Sorry. But you're still fired.
Right.
He actually said it that way?
Well, no. You see, in memory, we usually exaggerate things in order to make ourselves seem...
What did I just tell you? Could I ask what the problem was? Was there an issue with my work?
In a manner of speaking. you tell me what this is?
It's a drawing of you.
From your sketchbook, no? The one I always see you carrying around?
Yes.
More specifically, though, Violet, it's not so much a drawing as a, what, Violet? Help me out here.
Sketch?
No, not as such. It's, a what, Violet? It starts with a C. It's,
Caricature?
Yes, a caricature. And what does this caricature say, Violet? What exactly is it communicating to you?
I just do these as practice on my lunch break. I threw it in the trash. It wasn't intended to be disrespectful.
That's not actually what I'm concerned about. You see, Violet, as my executive assistant, I need you here, in every sense of the word.
I haven't missed work in a month, and that was only because my cat Odie ran off that one morning.
What I mean is, you don't quite seem to be, how should I say, passionate about your work. It seems as if you're just here to put in your requisite time, and then leave it all at your desk when you go home.
Isn't that what everybody does? This is a job.
A job, Violet? I'm going to level with you. We're undergoing some internal restructuring here, and we're assessing where exactly everyone fits in. It's clear to me that you have some outside interests. Between those and the budgetary restrictions we're facing, the decision was made by me to do a little bit of...
You're firing me.
Well, I wouldn't phrase it quite so harshly as...
No, you're firing me. Just come out and say it, would you? Show me that respect.
Look, Violet, I can tell this is quite a shock, and I'm sure it's upsetting, but we're prepared to offer a good severance package. 1 month's pay. Continued access to the benefits package until...
Look, I'm sorry I wasn't the picture of perfection as your assistant. I'm sorry I turned you down on the little dinner invitation. Forgive me, but being drunkenly felt up at the holiday party isn't exactly a great way to get in a girl's pants. Especially when she works for you.
Well, hold on now.
No, shut up. Now, I'll take the severance package, but in order to buy my silence, you're going to have to throw in a little more than that.
Violet, you're way out of line here.
3 months' salary with benefits and a written letter of recommendation from you for all of my future job endeavors. Or I go public on our company Facebook page, which I oversee. Do we have a deal?
Well, I...
Or maybe I could just call your wife.
Deal.
Fuck you very much. I'll see my own way out.
Holy shit. Did that actually happen, or is that another of those exaggerated memory things?
Suffice to say, we're good for rent at the end of the month, and next month, and the month after that.
Wow. My roommate is badass. Hashtag war stories. Hashtag
seriously,
job.
Seriously, Sasha?
Hashtag... the network just went down again. Don't worry. So how's the job hunt coming?
Slowly. Non-existent, actually. I've had other stuff to occupy myself.
You couldn't have spent all that time just drawing.
Well, here's what happened next. It was only about 10 o'clock when Rooney called me into the office. I had all day to myself. So I rode the trains for a while. I'd watch the people as they got on and off, wondered about their lives, where they were going, where they came from. Stop me when this gets annoyingly existential.
Can you put that away, please?
Sorry, I was trying to find that Facebook page you mentioned.
I had my sketch pad with me. I drew a few things that I saw. Kids with their parents, buskers on the platform. After a while, I got tired of that and just stared off into space. I drifted away. People came and went, but I stayed put. I didn't even move when some guy tried to chat me up.
He wanted my number. When he saw he wasn't getting anywhere, he told me to smile and got off the train. I guess that's one way to avoid unwanted attention. Before I knew it, I was back on the Brooklyn-bound train heading home. Two stops before ours is when I finally saw it. The thing that led me to the man in the mask. It was a stencil painting of a woman. Someone I recognized, all done up in purple. I got up and took a closer look. It was Frida Kahlo, but done up like graffiti of some kind. Underneath it was a single word, done up in the same color. The word was...
What?
Violet! Isn't that weird?
A little, but it's not an uncommon name or an uncommon word.
I know, but given the mood I was in, it felt like everything was speaking to me. I couldn't overlook it. Can I borrow your phone?
Sure.
Check that out.
Violet Brooklyn, a community page?
That's right.
A community-run site dedicated to sightings of work from the street artist known as Cesario, bearing the signature stamp Violet. What is this?
A street artist. He established the name Cesario from some prior projects he worked on. The past few months, he's only been doing purple stencil paints with the slogan Violet underneath. It's kind of his thing now.
Hmm. Stencil paintings of famous women all over the city. Frida Kahlo, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Is that Toni Morrison?
Good catch. Not many people would recognize her at first sight.
Hey, I read Beloved. Hashtag notable female authors. It looks like all of these are in Brooklyn. Nothing in Manhattan or the other boroughs.
Well, Violet Brooklyn. It's kind of his preferred turf.
How do you know it's a he?
That's the general opinion of the social media hive mind. He first made his mark a couple of years ago doing social message slogans on billboards. But lately, it's been notable women. They think he's just going through a feminist phase. I think that's precisely why no one has caught this guy in the act. Everyone is looking for a guy. I had another idea. I got on as many Reddit posts as I could, trying to figure out a timeline. I checked the site for updates of new images, social media alerts, all of that. It looked as if Cesario was making his way north from Coney Island on up. There were some rumors of sightings in Bedside from a few stencil paintings of Gloria Steinem and Condoleezza Rice that showed up outside of a bodega.
Condoleezza Rice?
Trying to broaden his appeal, I guess. Anyway, after a few days of searching, I had a pattern and it was working its way up towards Williamsburg. I loaded a few images to my phone and made my way to Grand Street, hoping to see something. I went there because of a video I saw. In the video, a passerby was taking a picture of a mural that they thought had been done by Cesario when they caught a glimpse of someone stuffing spray cans into a backpack. Whoever it was in a charcoal-colored hoodie and was making an effort not to be seen. The guy taking the picture switched to video, yelled, "Cesario!" And the person in the hoodie looked up for a second.
Let me guess, he had a mask.
Very good. This doesn't turn out the way you might think it does. Give me another drink. I put myself on a stakeout. I had read a blog post about a guy who followed someone off the Marcy Avenue subway stop that he swore was Cesario. The description fit, medium height, charcoal-colored hooded sweatshirt, and he was putting up a bunch of stickers of prominent women on public signs. A sticker of Anita Hill on a stop sign, one of Rosa Parks on a no-exit sign, that kind of stuff. Still, I was going on a random impulse. I had no logical reason to think he would be there at that particular place and time. I just had a feeling. It was early anyway. Everybody was out, heading off to wherever it was they were going, just looking ahead, utterly unaware of how random and haphazard it all was.
Violet, you're doing it again.
Sorry. Hashtag rambling. I guess maybe I shouldn't have decided to have another of these, but that's exactly what I did. Then and now. I was waiting out there so long I got bored. I stopped into a corner store and had a tall boy, then another. I was just starting on my third one when I said to myself, "Are you trying to make yourself a target? You're a single woman alone on a bench in South Williamsburg in the freezing cold. Now you're more than a little drunk and chasing after some arbitrary idea that a street artist no one has ever seen will just happen to be here. What are you doing to yourself? This is beyond boredom, Violet. This is dangerous. I put my head in my hands, hating everything I had done to allow myself to get here. I had no job. I had no friends. I only had my silly little drawings and a manufactured obsession. I only had myself to blame. It wasn't Rooney or anyone else, just me. The weird thing is that this all started when my cat ran away. Odie. Imagine what might have happened if I had put half the effort into finding him as I had into finding Cesario. Where was he now? What was my life? Odie?
Wait, he was there?
I looked up, and there he was. The colors, the markings, even the meow, it was Odie. My little Odysseus had come home at last.
That's what Odie is short for? You never told me that.
It is. I stood up and started to walk towards him, but he backed away. Odie, what's wrong? About 20 feet ahead, at the end of the block, that's where I saw him. The description fits, such as it was. Medium height, slim build, charcoal-colored hooded sweatshirt, and a mask. I couldn't make out what exactly it was, but I just knew it was him.
Cesario?
The man in the mask. He turned over his shoulder and looked at me. He didn't beckon me to follow him, but Odie did. He meowed again and then followed after him.
Odie, where are you going?
He started running ahead, so I threw the can down and followed after him. I was moving unsteadily, to say the least. I was a little drunk and it was late. The streets were completely deserted and the lamps overhead were fuzzed out and distorted. The sidewalk moved up and down. The buildings bent at angles I didn't know were possible. The laws of physics didn't apply anymore. I didn't know where exactly I was anymore, but it wasn't my world. It was Violet Brooklyn. I looked around and it had all taken on this purple hue. It was bizarre, but at least things had stopped moving. I was on steady ground, and my legs were working the way they should. I felt calm again. I felt like I was back in a safe place. I had no reason to believe this, of course. At least not until I heard,
Odie?
I looked over and there he was again. And the BQE, and that billboard, the one I always pass by that never has anything on it. The one on Meeker Avenue.
Odie! Come here, boy, let's go home.
He didn't come to me. Instead, he just looked up and jumped. He jumped up and started climbing the pillar of the billboard like it was a tree or something.
I didn't know cats could do that.
Neither did I.
Odie, what are you, come back.
I walked to the pillar and saw him climbing up. I didn't know what else to do, so I went up after him. With the equivalent of about 4 beers in me, I took my life in my hands to chase after a cat that I wasn't entirely sure was a figment of my imagination or not, while the city's most populated borough was tinted purple. Typical Saturday. The wind was cold. I was about 50 or 60 feet up, but it felt like I was scaling a mountain. The air tasted different. I got to the top and pulled myself up onto the walkway. Then I made the mistake of looking down and realized just what a risk I had taken. I stood up in a panic, tried to catch my breath, then looked out. That's when I saw it. I saw the city laid out before me. I saw Brooklyn behind me, Queens to my right, and Manhattan off in the distance like some diamond oasis. I was in the heart of the city. My Brooklyn. My Violet Brooklyn. I turned to my left and saw them, Odie and the man in the mask. Odie was curled up at his feet like it was the most natural thing in the world. Like this was the place he needed to be. The place where we both needed to be. The man in the mask was hard at work on the latest installment in Violet Brooklyn. It was a billboard-sized mural, a Darwin chart theme tracing the evolution of humanity. At the front, there were the Founding Fathers, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and then Andrew Jackson, and George Wallace.
But then, that gave way to Susan B. Anthony, Madeleine Albright, Michelle Obama, Sonia Sotomayor. It felt like a perfect evolutionary arc. It felt like, in spite of everything, the wandering, the setbacks, the frustration, it was all moving in the right direction. I stood there transfixed. I looked at the mural, then out at the city, and then back at the person behind it all. I looked at that mask and finally saw what it was. He stopped. Through the mask, I could feel him looking at me. But his eyes, I can't see his eyes. I reach out, I inch the mask up a little, and he lets me. I can't believe he's letting me do it. My heart is racing, I swallow hard, I raise the mask up another inch and see a mouth, then a nose. I lower the hood, raise the mask a little further, and then pull it off of him in one swift motion. There. That's it. That's really, truly it. That's when I finally see.
Are you finally going to tell me?
I saw her.
Her?
Yes. I'm Viola. Pleased to meet you both. Hashtag plot twist.
V, how are your memories talking to me again?
You got me.
It's a pleasure, masked man.
Likewise.
You call me Viola.
Don't you mean Cesario?
Cesario is just the moniker I branded myself with. You know, like Banksy, Neckface, Mr. Brainwash.
You gave yourself that name?
Of course I did. Who do you think started the community page? Who do you think posted all those pictures and videos?
That video of you that I saw online in Bed-Stuy, you did that yourself?
Well, yeah, it was me taking the video, but my friend Carol was in the mask that night. Oh, and the same time, our other friend Malik was down in Park Slope putting up something in Prospect. And the next night, Tracy was in Brooklyn Heights setting up the reconstructed city bike rack that we stole.
I don't follow you.
What you think of as one person is actually several. That's what Cesario is. It's a whole bunch of street artists who moonlight as masked vandals. We pick a theme for the work we do and disguise ourselves in contrast to that theme. Right now, the theme is Violet Brooklyn. Violet represents ambiguity and mystery. We do work that can't be contained to one individual, one idea, or one gender.
Or one sexual orientation. Purple is associated with gay culture, too.
In a dated sense, yes.
Violet is also my name.
No kidding. Small world.
I can't believe I found you. One of you, anyway.
When I was a kid, I read a play about a girl who dressed up as a man and wound up fooling everyone. Most of the people she fooled were men who couldn't see the forest for the trees. It was easy for her to do what she did. There's more to it than that, of course, but that's what stuck with me. All it took was a change of clothes and a name. Cesario. It took a self-imposed temporary gender change to have the patriarchy eating out of her hand. Well, for a little while, anyway. Her name was Viola, too. Do you know the play I mean?
I do.
I'm not trying to change the world or anything. Just a small part of it. I want my borough to look a little different from what I impose on it. I don't know if art can change the world, but it can change impressions. It can change minds. It can change people. They'll change the world, not me. I think that often misapplied adage of be the change you want to see in the world has some credence to it, don't you think? It just takes a little self-adjustment and a little follow-through. You know what I mean?
She was leaning against the guardrail, staring out at Manhattan alongside me. I turned and put my hand on hers. She looked into my eyes.
I think I know exactly what you mean. I thought you might.
Okay, then what happened?
I'm sorry, what?
You put your hand on hers and?
Omar, decorum prevents me from going into any of the so-called gory details.
Professor Shaw, if you'll excuse me, but when you agreed to speak with me about this gallery exhibit of yours for the campus news site, you said you'd provide some insight about what inspired you to become an artist yourself.
I think I've given you plenty to draw from.
Agreed, but is that really where you're going to leave off when it comes to your involvement with Cesario? Or, I'm sorry, Viola?
That was 30 years ago. When I agreed to give you some background on me for the article, I wasn't agreeing by extension to give you all the lurid details of my personal life.
Could you give me something else? Anything at all that gives me some idea of how you got from there to here?
If you insist. Viola and I kept it professional, at least in the early stages. I got involved in the Cesario project and helped out with various public works. Within a month, we moved outside of Brooklyn and focused on all five boroughs. After that, it was New York State, then the Northeast region. After a few years, we expanded countrywide and even took the operation up north. The Canadians were strangely more welcoming of it up there, but maybe we just felt that way because by then, to give you some gory details, Viola and I were officially an item. Canada legalized gay marriage a solid decade before the US, but we still wanted to get back to Brooklyn to make it official. We had a cool Williamsburg wedding at the most left of center location we could think of.
The billboard?
Highest marks. The base of the billboard, that is. No way was I climbing that thing a second time. Then we turned Project Cesario over to the next generation of street artists. I went back to school to get my master's degree. Flash forward a couple of decades and here we are. My one-woman show, My Violet Brooklyn, opens tonight at the Campus Gallery. It's a retrospective showing how I got from there to here, back to my roots. The end.
With respect, Dr. Shaw, it feels like you're leaving something out. Parts of it came across as a little fanciful. I mean, the whole thing with the cat climbing up a pillar.
What? You mean you've never seen that happen before?
Hello, love of my life.
Hello, Professor.
I assume that you must be Dr. Shaw's,
Yes. Yes, I am.
Right! Well, I think you've given me enough to work with after all. Dr. Shaw, it's been a pleasure. Congratulations on your exhibit. I'll see you there.
The pleasure was all mine, Omar.
You told him that version of the story? I thought we retired that one for good.
He's naive, V. Adorably so. I couldn't resist.
Like someone else I used to know. You're a tenured professor and a celebrated LGBT street artist now. For all you know, he could win a Pulitzer someday.
Stranger things have happened. I'd say we both made out pretty well, regardless of which version of the story we put out there. The work is what matters.
I still don't believe people buy the cat part of that story.
The Murakami parallels are delicious. Still, there is some truth to it. Here we are. Today, the Campus Gallery for me. MoMA next month for you.
I love you, Cesario.
I love you, Sasha.
You told him that version of the story? The one where I'm your roommate? Come on. Even in 2016, there was no need to be that closeted. It was Brooklyn, not North Carolina or Georgia. Besides, that story makes me sound so ditzy.
Oh, relax. Besides, things are much better down south now, as we both know. The wine at the event tonight is gonna be terrible. The stuff from the box? What do you say we get a real drink before we have to head over? Hashtag wine time.
Hashtags? It's 2046, V. Okay, I say, let's do it.
Let's.
My Violet Brooklyn was recorded in its entirety on December 4, 2016 in New York City, featuring Jabari Brisport, Kana Hatakayama, Chris Harkham, Sarah Pencheff, and Annalisa Velez. It was written by Corey Paca and directed by Robert A.K. Gagno, sound engineering by Liz Regan, sound design and editing by Robert A.K. Gagno, play development by Ben Dizarenz. My Violet Brooklyn was a DTC Radio production. My name is Pip Gengenbach, and thank you for joining me on this adventure. You can like Distilled Theater Company on Facebook, and for behind-the-scenes photos, follow us on Instagram at Distilled Theater. Until next time, good night, Laura Dern, wherever you are.